Hey everybody, it's your girl Jessie May. This is the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I am your glorious host. Another week, another dollar. How you living? How you loving? How you learning? Do I drive you nuts? I hope I do, because that means you're annoyed and there's blood pumping through your veins. That's all I can ask for, motherfuckers. It's a little late in the evening for myself. That's why my voice is subdued. I have been screaming to the gods all morning long, just in general, you know. I'm a woman, I've got the Red River flowing through my stems and in my soul, and so there's just a burning rage inside of me that I have to get out. And if you guys have a burning rage, here's a great segue. You can book me to make you a custom video to send to somebody. If you want to mail a burning rage to them via video, hit me up on Book Cameo. Book Cameo is a fun little app you can use. You can hire a whole bunch of different types of people, entertainers, athletes, celebrities, myself, to make you custom videos for anybody in your life. I've done expecting mothers, best friends, ex-husbands. It's a lot of fun. I make the video custom for you, made to order. Book Cameo, check it out. Also, my YouTube page is up and running, youtube.com/JessieMayPeluso. Please subscribe, share, all of that. I am excited to bring some more content to you guys. We are putting the podcast on the YouTube now, and Patreon's getting its own exclusive videos just for the Patreon members. So join the fan club, patreon.com/JessieMayPeluso. Join the fun house. It's the fun house. Like Gaga, but it's papoo, pip-pip-poo. Jessie Papoo. Join the Patreon. I appreciate your support. Thank you guys so much for listening every week, for sharing, for messaging me. And don't forget to give me a little shout out. Give us a call, 513-916-0930. Leave me a voicemail and I will pick my favorites to play on the podcast. So thank you guys so much for your support. It's been a crazy time. I'm sure you're going through your own subsequent craziness and maniacal situations you've never had to deal with before. We're all in this shit together. I actually found a fun episode that hasn't been released yet on my channel. It's a throwback to my boy Tully. Him and I were going back and forth doing episodes together. We're going to have to get back into that. We sort of fell off a little during quarantine. No harm, no foul, nothing bad or malicious. I just got so busy and he got busy as well. So I found this really fun episode that him and I did pre-quarantine, back when life was normal. And I thought you guys would enjoy it because I always loved talking with him and our swap casts were always so fun. So this is a swap cast from February 2020, pre-COVID, pre-quarantine, pre-pandemic, back when we can just walk around and take flights and smell other people's farts without worrying about dying. So I hope this just brings you back to the good old days. And thanks for listening ahead of time. This is an episode with Mike Tully from SiriusXM, The Tully Show. Ow, ow,
ow. Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep,
beep, beep, beep, beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie May Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's gonna get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
Okay, you ready to start this show? Your host of the evening is a really funny dude. I forgot his last name, but I've seen him before, and he's really funny. Give it up for Mike.
Coming to you live on tape from the penthouse of a partially completed commercial high-rise in glamorous Hollywood adjacent California. From the studios of SiriusXM West, boasting an obstructed view of one of LA's leading cement factories, this is The Tully Show. I am your host, Mike Tully. Joining me today, once again, the first lady of laughs, the queen of comedy, the princess of punchlines.
Oh, God!
The people's champ, Jessie Mae Peluso.
The princess of punchlines?
I ran out of female titles that could be alliterated.
Was that off the top of your dome?
Half dome.
It was pretty good.
I thought about that as I walked through the door.
It's like the queen of mean, but I'm the princess of punchlines.
The princess of punchlines.
Remember I don't know Lisa that you Lampinelli? Are.
Of course.
Yeah.
She's the queen of mean?
Yeah, she's the queen of mean, and I could be the princess of punchlines. Her, I'm not really jokey.
Her comedy has gotten pretty icky pretty quickly.
Where is she?
I think she's still touring. I know we're friendly on the Jason Ellis show with Frank DeCaro, who's a funny comic who was her opening act for years, and she's still out there doing her thing. I gather that she has a pretty gay-leaning audience.
Oh.
But just the stuff that she found her lane. She'd been a successful comic for a while, but what made her something like a household name was her...
Queen of Mean.
And doing the whole... interracial thing.
That's right. And she did like all those risky jokes.
And that's the stuff that I think
you get. I mean, today.
It wouldn't work nowadays.
It's just, God. I mean, come on, people. We got to get over it. We can't let words offend us.
But we can let objectifying people bother us.
Can we?
I don't know.
People are allowing themselves to be objectified.
I'm too tired.
I'm not offended by words. I'm offended by intent in action.
I'm too tired for outrage, and I'm too tired to be outraged.
Yeah, you're a little outraged. Tired. You took us on a fucking car ride today. I thought I was going to die.
We took a spin.
You're the untalented Mr. Ripley, because you didn't even murder me.
No.
You couldn't succeed.
Whoops.
Look what I have.
What?
For all those ASMR fucking perverts out there. It's my CVS receipts.
Wow.
Do you know about CVS and the receipt and how long it is?
I have noticed that.
It's so... I love this. It's so long.
Are you ASMR?
I'm into AS. I'm into ass.
AS, as they say where you're from?
I guess it's a little... There's something to it.
I think that women must be more into the sensual, soft sound thing than men are, because there's a bunch of companies popping up making micropods, erotic pods.
Erotic pods. That's what I call my butthole.
Where it's like women-themed erotica.
What's a erotic pod? They're popping up everywhere? Where, Tully?
There's companies popping up because they're getting enough of a following to at least get a publicist to... have the New York Post write an article about how popular these things are.
Well, what's an erotic pod?
Well, it would be...
What's it look like? Is that like a float tank?
If it's a woman-themed erotic podcast, it'll be like a guy who's like talking to a girl about like, hey, you know, your friend's staying over this weekend.
Oh, erotic podcast. I'm picturing a pod like a float tank.
Oh, all pods are erotic. You meant... I thought that went without saying.
I thought you meant like a
They're
physical...
They're squishy and they make you feel like an alien life form, and I'm chubbing up just thinking about it.
Tully, I'm talking about the physical place. I'm not happy with this microphone right now. I'm talking about a physical place.
Podcasts are currently a little bit hotter than physical pods. Every dog has their day. Physical pods...
cliches now. Every dog gets their bone.
I'm saying physical.
Another day, another dollar.
Physical pods were big once, and they might be big again, but right now it
erotic
is the podcast. So they're erotic podcasts.
I just figured out the microphone. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
That are directed towards females, and...
Is it like dudes are like, oh my God, I'm going to fist you. Oh. Is that like what it is?
No, that would be... No, now I'm getting hard because you sound like a valley girl who's about to take charge of my anus.
Oh, my God.
You're like,
this season on NBC. New show.
Fist your butthole.
Like, new show coming to NBC this fall.
I feel like it's like I'm hanging out with like Farrah Abramson after dark.
Oh, my God. Is that an erotic pod?
So there's erotic podcasts. There are companies that are popping up, and I'm led to believe they at least say that they are popular. They are short podcasts that are aimed at female and user-generated, so people can make money by putting up their podcast and seeing if it gets traction. And when it – and you said ASMR, which is why I started saying this. It seems to me, because I've sampled these
for masturbation purposes, obviously. That, because whenever they make erotica for women, it's never like about fisting and in out. It's like, oh my God, I think they're doing it in that room. We shouldn't listen, but oh, actually, let's just stand here and listen. It's actually kind of hot out there fucking in the guest room. But I noticed that it is lots of...
It is.
So that leads me to believe that women respond... If anybody is responding to the ASMR thing erotically, it's almost entirely women.
Autonomous.
You know what it means?
Autonomous sensory meridian response.
Wow.
I just Googled it, read it, and then remembered it.
Wow.
But you have to learn it and then You're teach it. Good. You learn it twice. You learn it when you learn it, and you learn it when you teach it. So I just taught you, so I'm smarter.
So now you will remember
I'm
it.
I'm so much smarter
you,
now.
You have already forgotten what you said.
Auto-sensory meridian response. I read it again. Wait.
I'm going to ask you tomorrow. Everybody.
Somebody sent me a DM. Maddie B. Yeah. And he talked
oh,
about
it. Oh, God,
us.
I think I know that guy.
Do you?
Maybe.
Can I read it?
Yeah, please.
He said, "People's champ." I haven't really read it, so we don't know what kind of wormhole we're going down here. "Hey, became a fan of yours because of the Tully Show and wanted to thank you for something you said a few weeks ago. You were talking about the breast cancer-centric organizations who focus on awareness, in quotations, and you said something along the lines of no one focusing on prevention. Thank you for saying that. I'm a radio DJ and hobby comic."
Oh, yeah.
You know him in Massachusetts? Yeah. "And one of the organizations we do works a lot with Massachusetts Breast Cancer Coalition, and prevention is their sole focus."
Good.
So,
right.
Again, everybody's thank aware, you for saying that.
Everybody's aware of breast cancer.
Yeah.
Susan G. Komen.
Yeah, you were making that point.
Your work here is done. Go home.
Yeah. We're aware.
Let's find the cure.
We're all aware. We're all fucking aware.
You see news stories all the time about how they think they've found the cure for cancer, but I saw... a news story
fucking
the other day
bullshit.
Where they think they found the cure for cancer. And it's way more complicated than people tend to assume because we talk about cancer like it's one thing. They say that each and every one is sort of its own animal. So there shouldn't be a blanket cure for cancer because it's really 1,000 different diseases that all have the same
root I don't know if
name.
I agree with that.
Scientifically, you're questioning my scientific expertise?
Yeah, I am.
Anyway, they think they found a thing that cures all of them.
Yeah, it's fruit. It's soursop.
The antioxidant properties.
I would say...
You're going to go goop on me.
I'm going to go goop on you. Actually, you know what's so funny is I binge-watched...
You love goop.
Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop just because I was so intrigued by it.
Now, is
like,
she...
What is this?
Right, is she...
But wait, let me make a point.
Okay.
Hold on to your Gwyneth Paltrow question.
I'm making a note.
I Got think note there's part. More 1,000 ways to prevent and treat cancer than there are... types of cancers. I think there are a bunch of factors that go into causing and exacerbating cancer, but I also think that there are a bunch of ways to implement a bunch of different styles and habits to implement into your life to sort of try to prevent that thing. With the exception of environmental stress you can't prevent or oxidative stress that you can't prevent, but even those things can sort of be
oxidative stress.
Oxidative stress is what happens inside of your body due to like dietary things and any sort of like reaction to what you're eating. And there's foods that can make oxidative stress heightened and worse.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
The way it's been explained to me is that like everybody is born with one bullet in the chamber.
Oh, for sure.
When it comes to cancer.
Absolutely.
And then your body plays Russian roulette.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are just going to...
Yeah, some people are more predispositioned.
No, but like everybody has like... Some people are just going to get cancer. It does not matter.
We should start the podcast like this. Everyone's got cancer.
Everybody has... Everybody listening to this is 1/6 cancer, and
there are someday, all types of cancer.
And someday your body is going to spin the barrel, and you're either going to get it or not. But then from there, you can, like Rush Limbaugh, smoke your entire life, and you can put another bullet or two in the chamber. You can do
or
this
eat
or
cheeseburgers
that.
Every day.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Or live a stressful life, like.
Or you can camp on a freeway every night. You know,
people
there's
are
lots
cancer
of things
though.
That you can. You can bring stress into your life in a way that probably I would tend to agree not in the least goopy way possible.
How's my fupa from your POV right now? Is it okay?
Oh, look at that little.
Isn't it cute? It's not bad. I have a little foops.
Man.
Just making sure, because you had total POV. I didn't mean to take you off your cancer soapbox, but I just wanted you to check my soapbox.
I was just, you know what? I missed the fupa because I was enjoying the little tummy roll on top of it.
I do. I do have a little, like, my meat doesn't quite fit in these jeans, especially when I sit down, but man, dude, it feels nice. Feels like I'm being held.
Tight, like a tight rubber band around a hot dog.
But yeah, back to everyone having cancer. Right.
So there, you can do everything right and you can still get cancer, but if you do everything wrong, then obviously your odds of getting cancer are much higher. But
right.
There's no way to eradicate it.
No, but then there's all, those people who live...
We've all got a little cancer.
We all got... There are those people who live completely indulgently.
Right. Yeah.
Completely smoke and they're fine. You know, those people are like, oh, my grandfather George smoked until he was 99 and ate meat every day. Yeah. He obviously had a strong set of DNAs.
Well, also those people have, to further this metaphor, to beat it into the ground, you know, I think there are 6 bullets in a revolver and a handgun. They have 5 out of 6 bullets
in the chamber. You would
know
you're a murderer.
Not a very good one. And they...
Untalented Mr. Ripley.
When they spin it, they get lucky.
Shit.
You can do everything wrong and still get lucky. So you watched the Goop series.
I did.
I've always been curious...
Not the whole series, okay? I just was, like, curious.
Is Gwyneth Paltrow actually...
An alien, yeah.
Is she that stupid, or is she stupid like a fox?
Are foxes stupid?
Well, you know
is that a phrase? Is that another, like, Tully cliche?
It's a Simpsons joke, actually.
Oh, okay. Stupid
Homer,
like a fox.
Homer's accused of being stupid, and he says stupid like a fox.
Fucking show. It's so good. I don't think she's stupid at all. I think she's in on the joke about herself.
Mm-hmm. I believe I agree. She doesn't get enough credit for that. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, she is selling people like, you know, spiritual beads to stick inside their vagina. That she,
I got
she,
2 in there right now.
She has to know, and I can see them clearly through your jeans. She has to know that many of the things that she's peddling are nonsense.
Well, nonsense to you. But it's only now if there's spiritual beads. I don't even know if she was selling. Is she selling spiritual beads? I know she's selling
she said,
candle that smells like her pussy.
That
doesn't offend me. I have a candle that smells like my butthole coming out next week. So everybody look for that.
I just put the candle right in my butthole.
Actually, you guys buy the candle and I come over and I fart it out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's how it smells like my butt. As I'll come over and it's kind of like your birthday where you blow out the candles.
Right.
I blow it out through my asshole.
Right, to the strains of 3 Times a Lady.
I fucking love Tom Jones. Is that Tom Jones?
I don't know what. Not even close.
I don't...
Is that Kenny Rogers?
Spiritual beads... You know what makes spiritual...
I think Lionel
you know
Richie
what makes
wrote
spiritual,
it, though.
You're right. You know what makes spiritual beads work? The belief.
Right, so she peddles magic beans to rubes.
Well, don't...
No, don't say
priests,
doctors. Yeah, they sure do. Yes,
you know.
And then I suspect that most priests,
psychics don't.
Yeah, and psychics no.
Some
no,
doctors
no.
don't. Teachers. I mean, there's all
okay,
there's
wait.
A belief within each
psychics,
system.
Every
you're
psychic,
writing notes. Now
every
writing
psychic
notes.
Knows that what they're selling is nonsense.
Well, then why do police detectives use them, and why have they helped solve certain crimes? Why have there been documentations of certain psychics who've been able to recollect and
you know, I know what you're getting at.
You know what I mean? Like they've been able to help them with specific details of a crime and help them find bones.
Pure luck.
Really?
Nonsense.
Really?
I tend to think so.
You have not had an experience.
I went to I was once like a dating member of a family.
That sounds incestual.
No, because I wasn't actually a member of the family.
You just said I fucked my sister.
I was having sex with somebody who, but I was like the son-in-law who wasn't engaged to the daughter yet.
Why are you saying this so difficult? You were like, I am.
One of my girlfriends in high school.
Yeah.
Like I was like in the family, but I wasn't, I was just dating her.
So
I was included in family shit.
You were in a relationship with your sister.
I was included in family shit, and the family was very, very prosperous, and I thought fairly put together. And I was surprised when they hired, I think it was a numerologist,
okay.
to come to the house. Like when I was a kid, there used to be like on tax day. There was a guy that my dad had to do his taxes.
Right.
And a bunch of friends would come over and they would all do their taxes. And
right.
they would just take their turns getting their taxes done. They had a guy, I'm sure they got a group rate from the dude. It was the same thing that this family did, only it was with their numerologist, where the entire extended family came over and everybody took turns seeing the numerologist as if it was their yearly checkup with the doctor.
Okay, so what did the numerologist do?
I don't know. I was invited to take my turn, and I did it.
And what do they say?
Nothing stands out to me. Nothing remarkable.
Well,
I think there was like one or two, like, oh, that's weird. That kind of does make sense, but not, you know.
I think there's just a guy. I'm sorry I got distracted, because can you see the construction guy doing jumping jacks on the top of that building from over your shoulder? He's doing jumping jacks, and I got totally distracted by what you were saying. I just think that certain systems function on the consumer's belief that it works. So
right.
I agree. The pussy beads. If I believe they worked, I'd shove them up in there.
Yeah. No, the placebo effect is a real thing.
It's a total thing.
Placebos have been shown to work even when people know that they are placebos.
Yes.
Right.
People just want to know something works. And if you give them even an inkling of a possibility, mm-hmm. they're going to hang on to it, especially people who are sick. Back to the Gwyneth Paltrow poop. What's it? Scoop?
You know what it is. Goops. You watch the TV Goop. Show.
Don't come at me. Don't come at me. Gwyneth Paltrow I don't think she's dumb.
No.
I think she just doesn't give a fuck. And she's just chill. And she's just like, whatever, yeah. I just think she's just who she is. And she's genuine. And she made a company that caters towards women who want to believe in something. And mm-hmm. if it's sticking beads in their puss or having their candles smell like their puss, I'm all about it. We need to have more products like that.
I've always said we need more vagina-scented candles.
Absolutely.
I've been on the record with that for years and years and years. The candle, it got a little twisted out of proportion. It doesn't smell like her vagina.
Well, then I'm returning mine.
It smells like vaginas.
I don't think there's a general vagina smell. I work out. I go to the gym. Let me tell you, a couple of them are funky monkeys.
Yeah, that does happen.
Okay. There's not one general smell.
I don't think her candle smells like one of those.
Well,
her and her...
You can't generalize her vagina smell.
Gwyneth and her candle buddy were mixing up candles, as you do.
Yeah.
And we're like... Does this one totally smell like pussy? And then they're like, fuck it, let's just fucking make it.
Is this on the record? Or are you making this up?
So she called it my vagina.
I just think
she called it my vagina, but it's really just like a vagina.
Well, actually, it's
more
the vulva.
False advertising. Is it really?
Yeah, she learned this on her show. The vagina is only the womb.
But the candle.
The candle would
is called my vagina.
It should be called vulva. She made a anatomical mistake there.
Mm.
Yeah, because the woman's whole area is known as the vulva, like the lips and the clit and all that, like, you know, juicy fun stuff down there.
Yeah.
That's the
kit and caboodle.
Yeah, the kit and the clit and caboodle.
Ah,
you're welcome.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a little envy there. You missed it.
It was right there.
But you know, I should have been the one that said it.
I've had a long morning.
I know. I spent half of it in your car,
sure
thinking
did.
I wasn't
sure
going to survive.
I've already driven to work twice.
But. I think she's just a regular chick, and honestly, the first episode is about her staff going and taking mushrooms together and having a trip. I bawled my eyes out. I was suckered. I was like, oh, I get it. I was sucked right in.
So you're going to do that now, right?
I definitely want to have a mushroom trip for sure. I think
it would help me.
Who
told you that's a good idea?
A lot of my friends who are into psychedelics.
Right.
Yeah. I have a really good friend who, her name is Jackie Stang, and she's starting this movement in this company called Delic, and it's just bringing awareness to the value of using psychedelics and helping you and how it's a therapy and not just a drug and how to use it as a therapy and not just a drug. So I'm open to it for sure.
That's for real. You're going to do the microdosing thing.
I'm going to ease into it. I'm a very sensitive individual.
Microdosing is absolutely fine. I've always operated on the assumption bordering on knowledge that everybody has like a window of time in which to enjoy mushrooms.
Yeah.
And that's from whenever's the first time you take them until you're like 21 or 22 or so.
Why? Your brain's not fully developed.
I know, because I even read an article about them in Vice magazine years ago that put it really well. There's just sort of like a self-centered oblivion to youth. Where you just sort of focus on like, oh, man, my fingers look smaller than usual. And, man, dirt just feels so good to hold on to.
Like a more innocent trip.
Oh, and I love my friends. And then you start to become aware of the negative elements of the larger world more and more. And that you trip when you're in your 20s. And this was always the cliche for the longest time that I remember. You do them and then you have the one trip where you just kind of realize bad shit. And as great as good mushroom shit was. bad mushroom shit. And it's not going to be like a necessarily a bad trip. It usually leads to a bad trip, but it's right. just more of like you just see somebody on the street be a little bit mean to somebody else and you get so bummed out about why are people so uncool to each other sometimes.
Like on the trip. Like,
yeah.
That's why you can't trip near people. You have to go to nature.
You got to get the fuck get lost. Yeah.
Talk about being mean to each other. Nature's a bitch. But like trees, you're not going to see a tree right. punch another tree. Maybe you will if you're tripping. Yeah. You might.
Anyway, everybody I knew always knew that. If you'd taken mushrooms, this was, you didn't even need to be said. You take them until they don't work for you and then you can never touch them ever again. And now I feel like they're having this whole other life of like the Ari Shaffirs and what have you, that it's like shroom fest and taking mushrooms into your advanced adulthood. It scares the fuck out of me.
But well, any psychedelic should.
Clearly all these people know what they're talking about more than I do.
Yeah, I think the information's evolving as we evolve.
I hope you find what you're looking for.
I think the information is evolving as people are able to see the results and put it into some sort of, you know, actual clinical studies and looking at it from a perspective of healing as opposed to a perspective of tripping. I think the era of tripping out is sort of yesteryear. I think that it's evolved into, you know, people who I know and very successful people on all levels of success are microdosing like every single day.
Yeah.
And these are people who are like running multi-million dollar companies and who are A-listers. And
oh,
who
it can
are,
be done. It can be done. Yeah. It's such a small amount that.
But that's an elevated approach to psychedelics.
And there's also definitely the thing where there's guided trips where people are tripping balls, but they're with somebody who knows what they're talking about, who can actually help them work through trauma and shit like that. And although I've never personally experienced that, I've had enough experience with mushrooms to be able to wrap my head around how that could work and probably does work.
That's the only way I would do a full trip is in the arms of an older woman who has white hair, basically Moana's grandmother.
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
And it calls me. Fucking, she turned into stingrays. She turned into like a herd or flock of stingrays. I don't know what you call like a group of stingrays. A flock, a herd, a group, a gaggle.
Yeah, it's a gaggle of stingrays.
Is it a gaggle of stingrays? Yeah, but that refers to geese and ducks and they're aerial. They're not aquatic. So it makes me feel like it would be, let's see. I want to say it's a group. A school of stingray? Maybe because they are considered a fish? What is it?
Wow.
What?
Do you want to know what it is?
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm like squirting in anticipation.
You're going to love this.
Okay, tell me.
A group of stingrays is called a fever. A fever of stingrays.
I've got a fever?
Yeah.
What?
Isn't that great?
Wow.
Second only to a murder of crows.
A murder.
A murder of crows. A fever of stingrays.
Wow.
I love that.
That's great.
How did I not know that? Stingrays need a better publicist.
Fever?
Yeah.
Stingrays do need a better publicist. Well, they kind of lost it. Their PR told them to lay low once.
The Steve Irwin thing?
Yeah, once one of their friends killed Steve
Irwin. Right, they're just doing a lot of charity work right now. And working on an acoustic album, getting back to their roots.
They're out in the desert with Queens of the Stone Age working on their tripping out trippy album. That's what are you fans of Queens of the Stone Age?
I keep on meaning to give them another try. They've always been one of those bands that I'm like, I get
love
it.
Josh Homme. Homme?
I think it's Omi.
Omi? God, he is one of the coolest lead singers ever.
He's a very cool dude.
My man is like, you're obsessed with him. I'm like, I am. I send him Queens of the Stone Age videos all the time. I just love the way the dude moves.
Huh.
His their latest music video, he's on roller skates the whole time. And I'm not talking like rollerblades, like dad blades that I know you do on Sundays. You probably strap up your baby in a Bjorn irresponsibly and go rollerblading on the coast. He's in double-double sets of twos.
Uh-huh.
Old school.
And that's cool.
It's so cool.
He is. That's always been kind of their thing. Their music is sort of like kind of unremarkable. Like, it's not like they have these like crazy, amazing, like catchy choruses.
Is this our first fight?
No. Just.
Are you sure?
The music would be very plain were it not animated by him. He
can't you say that about most bands who have you know, lead singers like that?
No, I think some bands.
Incubus.
Is that your second favorite band? Because I'm starting to zero in on where you're coming from.
I panicked on the title.
A good rule of thumb is
I panicked on a band name and I just threw one out because that guy's got like some, you know, he's got lead man stuff.
Oh, he's got the the dude who steals your girlfriend that you're like, seriously, you don't
this
see
guy?
Through this shit?
Yeah, yeah.
He's that. He is that fucking is. Incarnate.
Yeah.
But
You get heated. You get heated in this topic.
Yeah, music makes me angry.
Music ganks you angry?
Yeah, dude.
Do
I need to keep talking for the entirety
of
the show?
Yeah, I mean, Jesus.
This is the job description, right?
Don't you have any notes for me? We never get to anything you want to talk about.
Yeah, no, I do, as a matter of fact. Okay. I want to talk to you about erotic fiction.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Why not?
Isn't all eroticism fiction anyways?
That's deep, bro. She used to sing for Incubus.
What is erotic fiction? What does that even mean?
What do you mean? It's people, when you're writing a story and then it has a scene of eroticism in it.
Oh, God. And like, what kind of story? Like those books that you're, like, people's moms from the 90s used to read when the kids went to school.
I don't mean it like that.
The kitty cat under the blanket. And I'm not talking about the family pet.
No, I'm not talking about the Fabio, women.
Danielle Steele.
Women bursting out of their corset kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's like a woman with like very voluptuous breasts and hard, hard nipples, and they're on a rock for some reason, and the ocean's crashing behind them.
Yeah.
And the dude's
always
shirtless.
Fucking right next to
the
ocean.
Always right next to the ocean.
Which is a pretty skanky place to fuck when it comes down to it.
And water is not good for a woman's, you know. Yeah,
not salt water.
For her,
anyway.
for the juices.
Right, yeah.
For the vaginal juices. It counteracts the wetness, ironically so.
I know.
Yeah, salt water will really burn your puss hole.
I know. Water will dry out.
Yep.
Go figure.
Go figure.
And I'm also not speaking of the, letters to Penthouse erotic made up shit that I used to routinely steal from a newsstand in Port Authority bus terminal in New York when I was in high school.
Wow, it was really specific.
Yeah.
I think Penthouse erotic fiction is probably the precursor to porn, no?
Yeah, people were probably writing dirty stories before they could film them, yeah.
And it's ironic. Well, not maybe ironic, but it's interesting to see the evolution of how people consume eroticism. Because if you read it before, I would imagine it doesn't have the detriment to your sexual development as porn does today.
Well,
because you're still reading, and fiction is really good for your brain.
Yeah, that's probably not what they said when the printing press became widespread, and all of a sudden these people are just reading whatever they want. We can't even control what's in the books. It's driving them all crazy.
That's true.
Yeah, I guarantee.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, the powers that be are always concerned about so many of the paranoias and preoccupations that we have about the internet age, the social media age, are the exact same ones that the world had about pamphlets.
Yeah.
When it became easy to print things, now there's two sides to that. On the one hand,
like, that homing pigeon's making it too easy for us to connect. We're becoming less connected. We're disconnected.
I'm tired of all these trolls. Just sending.
There's literal trolls.
Nonsense pigeons
literally
to each
trolls.
Other.
Yeah, there's right. Trolls under the bridge, like, oh my God, you're so fat.
Right.
God,
so,
stop trolling me, bitch.
So, like, the world obviously did survive the advent of the printing press. And indeed, eventually, we love printing so much that we fund public libraries so people can get books all the time. That was not an issue. On the other hand, shortly after the advent of the printing press was the Dark Ages. So it does seem that when people have a new way of communicating real easily with one another, things get worse before they get better.
Yeah.
And that might be where we are now.
Well, I think it just goes back to us not working on ourselves. We're always looking for external things to fix our internal things.
Yeah. That's deep, man. I wish I could think of one Incubus song to sing right now.
Whatever tomorrow brings, I'll be there. With open arms and open buttholes.
I'm inspired by everything. I'm inspired by my band, but I'm like, I'm inspired by the ocean.
What is that?
I'm inspired by sunsets.
Oh, God.
The beach.
You know who was probably like that? Jim Morrison.
I write poetry, too. I know.
I bet you Jim Morrison was such a douche.
Jim Morrison was probably
such a douche.
The biggest ass clown who ever lived.
Can you imagine going to his house parties? Dude's never got a shirt on. He smells like some girl's snail trail from the night before.
Anybody who comes in, he goes over and puts his arm around them and
kisses him on the lips.
Yeah.
Kisses everyone on the lips.
Right. I saw the drummer of The Doors sitting in that chair right there. It's a couple days ago, John Densmore. And he seemed like, you can just sort of read people from a distance. He seemed like a good-hearted soul. And I was going to have him on the show, and hopefully I will soon, because I've always wanted to talk to the other Doors.
Yeah, the actual Doors.
Right.
Because it was Jim Morrison.
Because they're actually like pretty fun little band.
Yeah.
When you strip away.
I mean, they were the ones doing all the jamming. He just was gyrating without a shirt on.
Yeah.
They were the ones that were like, Jesus Christ, Jim, this song is 15 minutes long, bro.
Right.
Put on a shirt and let's go get a taco. Can we fucking finish?
Doo-ga-doo-ga-doo. How many more times are we going to do this?
Holy shit.
Doo-ga-doo-ga-doo.
Oh, my God. Honestly, I'm probably pissing people off, but The Doors is not my jam.
Oh, I like The Doors.
It's not my door jam.
I like The Doors because you, and maybe I would like Incubus if I was like 50 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
Because like, they're just, it's a joke to me. His whole, like, I like bands.
What's his name, the lead singer of Incubus?
Brandon. I want to say Flowers. That's the
Brandon,
killer's guy. Moreno?
Brandon Muse?
Huh?
What were you going to say?
I just like bands that have like a gimmick.
Yeah.
Like when you just have like a cute, you have a cute song and you have like a gimmick.
So does Incubus have a gimmick?
Like the Ramones. No, I don't like Incubus. They're terrible. The
Brandon Boyd.
There you go.
They're from Calabasas, California.
Oh my God. Are they really?
Yeah.
Calabasas. That just made them so much worse.
Okay. Can I show you this photo? You're going to hate the photo. You're going to hate that. That's him right there leaning, goofy.
He was constantly just
cool.
Oh, no, hold on. I put my head down on you.
Oh, my God. And he's
maybe I'm thinking about maybe closing my mouth later. From now, I'll just hang up.
Douches. Such douches.
He's like Johnny Depp without any of the swagger.
Oh, Johnny Depp is probably, you know, annoying one to hang out with, too.
I'm sure he's...
He's been through some shit, that guy.
I'm sure he's best in small doses. Supposedly,
do you think he answers a door in his Pirates of the Caribbean outfit? Like, you just come, you're like, bro, I'm just here for...
Did you ever see the...
Thought we were just going to hang out by the pool, and he's like, hello!
The Onion article about how Johnny Depp has now just turned into all scarves.
He was in just, like, a lot of eye makeup. He had this band. But it's a...
But I love that he pulled it off. Like, he fully just decided to turn into a pirate Keith Richards in front of...
Yeah.
All of us. And we all just went along with it because we like him so much.
Well, it's a tough industry. I think fame is weird. He's been famous for a fucking long time.
Here it is. Johnny Depp, now completely made of scarves and bracelets.
Like, sounds like an onion.
It is.
Is it onion?
Yeah. Completely made of scarves and bracelets. We have a picture of just scarves and bracelets and a hat on Jimmy Fallon.
Look at that little guy. That kills me. That is so, so funny.
Isn't it great?
It is. It's great.
Yeah, no, and the Onion nails it. They've really...
I think, you know, when you're a majority of your life has been in the spotlight, you're due for a couple weird a couple weird years and some questionable choices. And that's a thing about, like, celebrity and people demonizing celebrities when shit goes down. Everyone at that point is throwing rocks at glass houses because everyone goes through shit. They just, celebrities do it in public, unfortunately. And, you know, there are dudes out there who aren't paying their child support. And there are women who are, you know, going through divorces and taking men for everything they've got just because they're being spiteful. Like, people are doing shitty shit to each other on a regular civilian basis daily. They just don't have that publicized.
I think that there are certain people who are like just put on this earth to live on a higher level than the rest of us, who really thrive on being the center of attention and having just the words that come out of their mouth matter more than the average.
Like, who's an example? Who do you think of, like, in our culture?
Sylvester,
like, Kim
Stallone.
Kardashian?
Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. What are you... You said Kim Kardashian and you're going to scoff at Sylvester Stallone. Sylvester Stallone's been a successful movie maker and writer and Oscar winner for like 40 years.
Wait, I thought you meant like somebody, like it was a bad thing. Like,
no, I'm saying.
Because I consider him like a pretty decent person.
Yeah, I think he would be, if it was a world before celebrity,
yeah,
you know, before like mass media and stuff like that, like he might be a little bored. He might have gone through his days feeling like, ordinary life was kind of too easy for me.
Yeah, like some people are built for the limelight, is what you're saying.
I could have taken on way bigger challenges.
Right. It looks painful for him to talk.
He's... That's been going on for a while, though.
It seems like it's getting worse.
Have you seen Jackie Stallone?
Who's that?
His mother, who is still alive.
Oh, God, I gotta Google her. Why, does she talk? Does he get his voice from her? I'm never... Look, We have to be careful. We are talking about Steven, what's his name?
Brandon Boyd.
Sylvester Stallone's mom now. Okay, we've got to be careful because I feel like that dude would murder us. Okay, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
She's a lovely woman. She is. She looks like she would kick your fucking ass.
Yeah, she looks like a tough cookie, doesn't she? I think she was doing like a psychic friends thing on TV not that long ago. Yeah, man.
Her face.
Sylvester's looking pretty good now, isn't he?
As a compliment, her face to me now looks like what it would look like to me if I were completely tripped out on mushrooms. Like her regular face looks like a mushroom face to me.
Right.
What I would imagine. And I mean that as a compliment. Because it's a hard life, especially as a woman. We got to keep all our shit intact.
So my point is there's a small number of people who I think are equipped to, like, operate on the world stage. Oh, it's so sensual. I can take a little me time and enjoy that. And then I think there are other people for whom celebrity is clearly overwhelming. And I just know that, like...
Like your Britney Murphys and stuff.
Yeah, like it's hard to have a successful relationship.
Britney Spears. It's just Britney's.
It's especially hard for Britney's.
It's hard for Britney's, man.
Is there a Britney who is equipped to handle
life? No. Britney Snow?
Who's the best Britney?
Britney Snow.
Who's that?
She's an actress. She was in, what was that movie with Anna Kendrick? The cute movie that...
Everything Anna Kendrick's in is cute.
she's adorable.
She's fucking adorable.
She is adorable. The God, movie that... what's her name? Elizabeth Banks produced the singing movie. Wasn't she in that?
Pitch Perfect?
Pitch Perfect. Brittany Snow is delightful. She's a delightful actress. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Guiding Light. Oh, she's what else. She looks like a real cute, cute girl. Was she in? Oh, maybe she wasn't even in Pitch. Oh, yeah, she was in Pitch Perfect. Okay.
My point is this. If it's hard enough to have a successful relationship to pick but one facet of life... Anybody who's ever had a relationship knows that. Now imagine if constantly you went through your day and you had prearranged convoluted conversations with strangers, i.e. interviewers, who asked you about your relationship all the time. And then you constantly had to say stuff and you're just talking. Maybe some days you're a little tired and the words aren't coming. You say something that's like not phrased exactly the way that you would want to say it.
Like John Stamos when he was really high in that Australian morning show and he was like jet lagged and everyone was like, oh, he's a day drinker. And he just was exhausted.
Right. But even without John Stamos's rampant alcoholism, which you're in denial about, I'm just saying it's hard enough to have a relationship without people, a bunch of strangers giving a shit about your relationship and sending you tweets about your relationship. And
yeah.
Stuff. I don't know how anybody does it.
That's weird.
I feel like my marriage is very solid.
Oh,
I
well.
I don't know what would.
I sent out a bunch of tweets just now about your marriage on the rocks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this is bad timing.
And that's what I'll be dealing with
tonight.
Yeah,
you're going to have to deal with that.
And I don't need this shit.
Yeah, how does John Legend and
Chrissy Teigen,
their relationship is so much in the public eye.
Yeah.
She's funny. She's got a really good sense of humor when it comes to trolls and stuff on the internet. She's really funny with it.
Yeah.
And she's like a regular down-to-earth chick.
Oh, this is the public persona that we know of her. No, how many celebrities are... Oh, wait. Well, then I
know her
right.
Personally.
I see.
I looked right into her vulva urethra and I whistled the Star Spangled Banner.
Once, twice...
That's
three
not the Star Spangled Banner.
Lady.
Oh,
this song follows you around for all of your genital-based visits.
What is my vibe? We need the fans to say what my vibe is. What's my vibe? We need like a what do you guys consider me as on this?
Did we just kick off the narcissist corner segment?
That needs to be a segment.
The narcissist corner?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Oh,
it does.
I love that. Everyone has an element of narcissism. We have to. We're in this culture. Every single, even like little babies are narcissists. Like the way your daughter smiles and you take photos of her, a little narcissist.
Yeah, I've thought about that. There's more photographic evidence that my daughter existed than there is that John Lennon existed.
Yeah. Who?
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That guy? Did John Lennon ever look cute in a little fucking panda outfit? Did you put her in a panda costume? I feel like you did.
She was in some kind of...
Was that racial appropriation?
She was in a... Yeah, that's the wrong race you're appropriating. You're being...
Yeah, that's Chinese.
You're being incorrectly racist.
Well, what animal's popular in Japan?
Like Hello Kitty.
A penguin?
Hello Kitty is the native
that's
species.
That's not a real...
They are. They're incredibly endangered.
Those monkeys. No, it's those monkeys. Most popular Japanese creatures.
It's gonna be Hello Kitty.
Oh my Hello Kitty.
Yeah, Hello Kitty lives in the same forest as the wild Yoshis.
I'm going to say dolphins, and then I'm going to say those monkeys up in the hills. Mm. Japanese Mackay, Shiba Inu, giant salamander.
Shiba Inu, that's just a dog thing.
It is a Japanese raccoon dog. I am right here. Mm-hmm. Dolphins not even on the list.
No, because dolphins live in the ocean, not in countries.
Well, you know, they might. Well, they get up there when people eat them. They get chopped up and people eat them. Japanese sero and the wild boar. Wow, they got a lot of animals.
There was a wild boar loose in a city the other day.
There was?
In a Japanese city.
God, that must have been terrifying.
The guy who came face to tusk with it.
They're aggressive.
Yeah, they are.
They will tusk the fuck out of your taint.
Yeah.
You ever get a tusk in your taint?
Boars will fuck you up. No, I haven't. Lucky. Erotic fiction.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Do we not even get into it?
No. So, sometimes in the course of writing a novel, you want to have like a scene. That's so it's not like a
sex scene.
It's not a dirty book. It's a straightforward book, but it's got a sexy scene.
Okay.
And it's, you know, like dirty talk is it's an art.
It certainly is. As a woman, I can attest to that.
What's the worst thing you've heard?
It's not even the worst. It's just like the sexting is a art form.
Yeah.
And people think sexting
might surprise you to find out I'm not very good at it.
I'm not surprised at all. Mm. I don't even know if you're good at the sex at all either. I'm surprised you've procreated, honestly.
Solid. Cool.
But this, herein lies the charm of our relationship.
Right.
You know?
Is that you are sex incarnate?
Yeah, exactly. I think sexting is an important tool to use in a relationship. And guys, women like descriptive sex. Just as much as we like blunt ones, you mm-hmm. just got to know when to press the gas and when to press
the not gas.
What's the other pedal? The one that makes it not go. The pause brake. The brake. The pause pedal. Mm. Which also known as the brake.
Yes.
But as a woman, I can say.
Yeah, I pause at all intersections.
I feel like that was attempted. Something sexual. Is this a line from your erotic novel? It starts with I pause at all intersections. Oh yeah.
So people put together lists of the worst erotic passages in fiction. These are almost uniformly written by men.
Okay.
She said nothing, then her lovely mouth otherwise engaged until he came all over her face.
Whoa.
This is John Updike.
Whoa.
This guy wrote The World According to Garp.
Wait.
Yeah.
Is that the beginning of the paragraph?
This is the beginning of the book.
Okay, start over. Because it's so a dude wrote
she
this,
said
right?
Nothing. Yeah, John Updike.
Of course. Okay.
But he's like a legendary writer.
Yeah, okay.
This is
let's ask his wife.
In the so there's he wrote The Witches of Eastwick. And
okay.
This is the sequel, The Widows of Eastwick.
Okay.
She said nothing then, her lovely mouth otherwise engaged until he came all over her face. She had gagged and moved him outside her lips, rubbing his spurting glands across her cheeks
and chin.
They're
at Coachella this year, spurting glands, favorite band.
He had wanted to cry out, sitting up as if jolted by electricity, as the spurts, the deep throbs, rooted in his asshole.
What?
Continued, but he didn't know what name to call her. Mrs. Rougemont was the name he had always known her by. God, she was antique, but here they were. Her face gleamed with his jism in the spotty light of the motel room.
No! Tully!
Uh-huh.
No!
She laid her head on the pillow and seemed to want to be kissed. Well, why not? It was his jism.
What?
Having got rid of it, there was an aftermath of sorrow in which he needed to be alone.
There's a foremath of sorrow right now.
But there was no getting rid of her. Call me Suki, she said, having read his mind. I sucked your cock.
So did he imagine her to be somebody else and she just was some
no,
girl?
No, her name is Suki Rougemont.
I'm so conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like...
Jism's a hard word to use to thread that needle.
But also spurting glands.
Yeah.
Their sophomore album is fantastic. You really should check it out.
Yeah, they were on Sub Pop, right?
Oh, God, they're so good.
Yeah.
Anyways, it feels like it's written for men.
Mm,
it doesn't do anything for me, but then again, I'm a unique creature.
No, I don't think you are in this regard. I think most women would be repulsed by this.
Is this printed in Braille? Are blind people reading this?
I'm sure they can.
You ever think about that?
Blind people probably do audiobooks more than Braille now.
Braille's probably like, you know, dying out. It's probably like, you know, writing.
People thought they'd have a solid career in Braille. And poof.
I wonder what somebody who was congenitally blind, what they imagine in their minds to turn them on, because they've never had a visual comparison.
Right. Well, you just work with what you got, right? Theoretically, there's a whole other sense that we could have that we don't have. And some creature that had that sense would be like, oh, how could you ever
like
jerk
sonar?
Off?
Sonar?
I don't know, whatever the hell it might be.
Sexual,
you know?
Sonar?
Whatever it might be that, like, we don't have, and we're getting along just fine without it because we don't know what we're missing.
Yeah, I think
I think they're probably jerking off to ASMR videos.
You think so?
They just crinkle up CVS receipts.
God, where did I put them? Hold on. For all those deaf people out there.
They love that.
It's so good.
It's like,
why are
it's
you
like
reading
catnip.
Me erotic fiction?
I don't know.
Can this be a new segment that
yeah,
we do?
Yeah, I've been trying to do it for like 3 months. Her mouth.
Oh, are we going to do more?
Her mouth lathered.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, his
Christ.
Mouth lathered with her sap.
Her sap?
He turned around.
That sounds really messy. I'm already like reaching for a Clorox wipe.
He turned around and embraced her face with all the passion of his own lips and face, ready at last to grind into her with the hound.
No. You know what? I'm getting my keys and I'm leaving.
To drive it into her piety.
No. No. Mm-hmm. Now I got to Google a word.
Which one? Piety or
don't,
hound?
Don't. Piety
you
don't or
wanna, you
hound.
Don't wanna, you don't want to know what he means by sap.
Oh, God. You don't. Righteousness by virtue of being pious. Okay, yeah. I know that word pious.
Yeah, piety is the noun of.
It's just the. Oh, God. Hound. Mm-hmm. No.
Did you ever date anybody who nicknamed their dick?
But I do. You know what I appreciate there? The description of the dick being the hound and the puss being
the piety?
Virtuous and godlike.
Oh, I see.
You know,
so
like
unleash the dogs into the church of her.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's regarding women in a religious sense, like we're higher beings. So
see, like
I'm
that.
Down. I'm down.
Okay,
I'll read the rest
one?
Of the book. God.
He, what is that from? Oh, Norman Mailer. That guy's like considered a genius.
Okay.
How about J.K. Rowling?
I mean, I don't know if I want to know how fucking Harry Potter's getting down.
Well, this is from her adult novel, The Casual Vacancy.
That's also what I call my butthole.
He retained a memory of her bare pink vulva.
See? Mm-hmm. Vulva.
Right. Now, this is lady eroticism. It was as though Father Christmas had popped up in their midst. He forced his way inside her. In their midst?
Oh, so in their midst. Is that like, did she just say her dad went and touched her puss?
He forced his way in. Father Christmas.
Well, I don't. So Santa Claus fucked
yeah.
her?
Yeah. It's way better than your dad.
Yeah, it's kind of hot.
Santa Claus, really?
I mean.
Come on.
It's kind of like a stepdad.
Can't be.
Category.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Why not too much fabric? He'd smell like cookies, and he probably had some snacks. He's got gifts. I mean, that's a good boyfriend.
If I told you that
he's
I found
got food.
If I told you that I found Mrs. Claus sexually appealing,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Why?
I
Why?
Mean,
who would be into that?
Let's not psychoanalyze you right now.
She really is. She's like a walking, talking baked good.
Hello.
Right.
I'm into it.
That's for nibbling, not for sexing.
Well, nibbles can lead to sex.
He forced his way inside her, determined to accomplish what he had come for. Crystal moaned a little.
What? He raped her?
No.
He forced himself on her.
He forced his way inside her. She obviously was okay with it.
Was she?
Well, you can force your...
Why? Because of what she was wearing?
You can... You can get consent and still need to maneuver yourself inside. I assume that's what J.K. Rowling is getting at here.
Okay.
Crystal moaned a little, her head thrown back. Her nose became broad and snout-like.
What? Is she a shapeshifter?
Yes, yeah.
Is she turning into...
She's a boar lady.
A succubus?
That's what the
you
twist...
You know, a succubus
that's
is a female the... demon.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've known a couple.
Ha 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 ha
All right, we gotta go.
That laugh was so stupid. That laugh was so stupid.
This whole show was stupid.
Oh my God, erotic fiction has to be our new segment. All right, I'm all for
it. Plenty more where that came from.
Are you gonna read me more?
Sure.
Let's read the rest.
We'll just sit around here.
Oh my God, I need to hear more. Oh God, it's so good. Come see your girl, JessieMae.com, Sharp Tongue Podcast.
Nothing says funky like the people's champ.
Squirt, spuge demon, what did he say? Squirt gland. Squirt glands. Oh, God. Not going to sleep with that one now.